Hello. So today I want to look at a few ideas found in the Tena Arena and apply them to lessons for our own lives. And we're going to start talking and learning Parshas Bereishis, the first Parsha in the Torah. Parshas Bereishis deals with the creation of the world. And today I'm going to discuss only 2 days that are discussed by the Tena Arena about the first 2 days of creation. So the Hashem creates on the first day the earth and the sky and the water, and the third pasuk starts to talk about the creation of light. These pasukim are not quoted in the Tena Arena, but for help with our study, I'm going to quote them right now. So, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayhi Or. And Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. Vayar Elokim Es Haor Ki Tov. And Hashem saw that the light was good. Vayavdel Elokim Ben Haor Uven HaChoshech. And Hashem divided between the lightness and the darkness. Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom, V'lachoshech Kara Laila. And Hashem called to the light day, and to the night he called night. Vayihi Erev, Vayivoker Yom Echad. And it was evening, and it was morning, one day. So what does this light, what is this light, and what does this light represent? So the Tena Arena, quoting the Medrash, tells us this, that there are two distinct kinds of light in this world. The first is a physical light. You have sunlight, you have moonlight. And the second is a spiritual light. So that which was created on the first day was actually the spiritual light that was brought into creation. This light was very special, and the world could not be sustained. The world would not be able to access this light long term. So Hashem set it aside for tzaddikim, for righteous people, in Olam Haba, in the world to come. The light in these psukim is not the light we experience now. That light that is in the first psukim, in the first psukim Gimel through Hey, 3 through 5, are reserved for Olam Haba. So the Medrash Rabbah, which is later expounded upon by Rabbi Yehuda Chaya, which is further expounded upon by the Tena Arena, explain the significance of the fact that in these three psukim, it repeats the word light 5 times. It shouldn't need to repeat the word 5 times, but it's using the word light 5 times to teach us a lesson and to make us focus on something in particular. So Rabbi Shimon says that when you find the word or light in the Parsha 5 times, it parallels the 5 books of the Torah, because Torah is compared to a lamp. So the fact that it uses the word 5 times is meant to indicate to us that the number 5 has a significance, and that significance is the 5 books of the Torah. Every time you hear the number 5, you're supposed to go, oh, 5 are the books of the Torah. So that's why it's used 5 times. So what's the significance of this? What is it trying to tell us that it uses the word or 5 times? So the first time, Yihi Or, Rabbi Shimon says in the Medrash Rabbah, is let there be light, Yihi Or. It parallels Sefer Bereishis when Hashem created the world with light. The second time, it's written that there was light, Vayihi Or, and there was light. It parallels Sefer Shmos, the second book of the Torah, where the Jewish people go from the darkness of exile, of being in Galus Mitzrayim, through they experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, where they leave Egypt and they come out from Galus, from darkness, which was, there was a Choshech, there was an actual physical darkness, and all the Jewish people had light. So that Geula, the redemption process, was itself a source of light. The third time it's written, Hashem saw the light that it was good. Vayar Elokim Es Haor Ki Tov. Hashem saw the light that was good. And this is Sefer Vayikra. What is contained in the book of Vayikra? It's all about Karbanos. And what does this tell us? What is the important component that we need to know about the Karbanos? Anybody who would bring a carbon, it wasn't just that they would bring a carbon and then they would be absolved from any trouble. It wasn't a sacrifice to Hashem to placate the gods. Rather, this carbon was there so the person would identify with the carbon and they would come to do tshuva. They would return to Hashem with a full heart. And then Hashem would enlighten their eyes. When they were sinners, they were removed from Hashem. They were blocked off from the light of Hashem. And when they would bring that carbon, they would do tshuva and they would come back to Hashem. And that was Kitov. That was the light that was good. So the fourth light, what is the fourth light? The fourth time is when Vayavdel Elokim as Ben Haor Ven HaChoshech, when Hashem separates the light and darkness. And this corresponds to Sefer Bamidbar, where it describes how Bnei Yisrael are separated from their evil deeds. The Bnei Yisrael, when they were in the Midbar, there were those of them who sinned. They sent spies to the land of Israel when they shouldn't. They sinned with the golden calf. There was the sin of Korach. There was Jews who, the Klal Yisrael, who sinned. And then there was a Mishkan that was built that allowed those, the next generation, to connect to Hashem and to be separated from their sins. So then the fourth book, when Hashem separates between light and darkness, there is this separation going on between the generation who died in the desert and the generation who entered into Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishkan served as a focal point where the Jews who were going to Eretz Yisrael could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem could help them. The fifth time when Hashem calls, it's Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom, Hashem calls the light day. So what does that mean? So that is Sefer Dvarim, that Hashem calls that there is a time when that light is available. And Sefer Dvarim is the book where most of the halacha and mitzvot are mentioned. So these mitzvot and halacha enlighten people so that they can live. So rather than stumbling around in the dark like a blind person, or if you ever wake up at night and you're trying to find, you know, trying to get to the door and you trip over everything because there's no lights, when there's nighttime, it's always bright. And that's what the Torah and the mitzvot provide for us. The Torah and the mitzvot provide us with light of how to live our lives so we don't live in darkness. So Rabbeinu Bachaye, as quoted by the Tzenarena, tells us, what do these five, so what? So there's five lights, and those five lights parallel to five books of the Torah. So what is this trying to tell us? So Rabbeinu Bachaye summarizes this, and he says the following. He says, the first light is this world. The second light is redemption, Geula. The third light is Bali Tshuva. The fourth light is the Beis HaMikdash, and the fifth light is Torah and Mitzvos. What does this teach us? When Hashem created the world, he had a plan. He was going to get this world to Olam Haba so he could give tzaddikim, righteous people, a reward. He didn't leave it to chance. He gave us tools to access that light every day. In the creation, we can see Hashem. When there is Geula and he is bringing the Jewish people to serve him, we are getting the opportunity to have that light. Through tshuva, we are able to access light because otherwise we'd be cut off from Hashem forever. With the Mishkan, with the Mikdash, with the place where we serve Hashem, we can bring the light of Hashem into this world and come close to Him. And finally, the one good that is always available that turns our darkness into light is that we have the capacity to do Torah and mitzvot, and Hashem has given us a tool to do that which we need to be able to get to Olam Haba, to get the reward, to be able to get to a place where we'll have that light that is reserved for the world to come. Okay, let's skip ahead now to the second day, to a lesson that the Tzenarena teaches us about day two, that is also a quote from the Medrash Rabbah and that the Rabbeinu Bachaye explains further, and the Tzenarena adds his own few details. So Chazal tell us that every day of creation, it says Kitov, that it was good, except for the second day. So how come on the second day it doesn't say Kitov? So there are a number of explanations. The first explanation, which I was very familiar with, which is the one that I was mainly familiar with from my other learning, is that when something is not complete, you can't say it's good. So on the second day, Hashem had started to gather the waters. He separated the waters above and the waters below, but he didn't complete the work of the waters on the second day. And even though he completed the work of the heavens, he didn't complete the work of the earth. And since the work of the earth is the primary work, the primary purpose for which Hashem created the world, he created the world in order to make, to have a place for humanity to serve him. Only when the work of the water in this world, not in the heavens, was complete, could it be considered good. And that wasn't complete until day three. Another explanation from Chazal, which I was not as familiar with, is that on the second day, Gehenim, hell, was created. And so you can't say when we have punishment and we have hell, you can't say that that day is good. And then the third explanation, which the Tzenarena brings, is that on that day, there was a machlokas, there was conflict, because the upper waters and the lower waters were both arguing about being split. They both wanted to go up to heaven to be closer to Hashem. Neither of them wanted to stay down here, and they argued about this. And so this was the Yom Sheni, this was the second day, there was Shinoi, there was change, there was split, there was division, that the waters wanted the same thing, and so they argued about which role they had to play. And a day which has machlokes, you can't say that it is good. So the last two explanations, one that Gehenna was created and that Machlokas began, are connected to each other. When there is Machlokas, that's what creates Gehenna. This shows, to teach us, as it's a quote, this idea is there to show us and teach us that anyone who is not careful about starting conflicts and fights with friends and neighbors will end up in Gehenna. The Tzena Arena brings an illustration from the story of Korach, which is mentioned in the Gemara Bava Vasra. How Rabbi Bar Chana tells a story about how when he was walking in the desert, he came across a merchant who brought him to the place where Korach was swallowed. And there was a split in the ground and smoke is rising up, and he heard people screaming. And what were they screaming? Moshe emes v'sarasu emes. Moshe is true and the Torah is true. So although Korach and his congregation of people tried to fight against Moshe, for all eternity, they're in the ground, they're suffering with Gehenna till today. They're suffering and having to admit over and over that Moshe is true. They wanted to have a machlokas, but in the end, they lost entirely. A person has to be very careful not to get involved with machlokas. And this is what we're meant to learn from this pasuk, that it doesn't say kitov, that we are meant to learn that we're supposed to run away from any machlokas, that it's not enough just to avoid it. If it happens, that it's okay, we have to run away from it. Chazal say that it's worth it for if a person starts a new job, just go get a new job. If there's a machlokas, if there's conflict, if there's discord, if you're going to be fighting, if you're going to come if you're going to come to a time where you're going to be arguing, give in, give up, move away. Just don't get involved in machlokas, in conflict. The Tzena Arena brings this idea, the following idea. He said, machlokas doesn't just impact the person and that small argument. When you start an argument, it never ends there. It continues to fester and it causes problems and it spreads from person to person, from a smaller issue to a bigger issue, until everything you have ever hoped for is destroyed. After that second day of creation, from then on, each day of creation had machlokas in it. On the third day, Hashem told the ground to bring forth trees that tasted like the fruit of their tree. The ground didn't do this, and they made fruit that tasted like fruit and trees that tasted like bark. What caused this? Machlokas from the second day. Separating oneself from focusing only on what Hashem wants and thinking, what do I think is right? What do I want? On the fourth day, originally the sun and the moon were the same size, but this bothered the moon. The moon came to Hashem and complained and said, how can you have two kings ruling at the same time? How can we both be equally powerful? The result was that Hashem diminished the moon's power and strength so that the moon only reflected the sun's light. Had the waters not focused on themselves on day two, this precedent wouldn't have been in the universe where they were each jockeying for the prime position. On day five, Hashem killed the female Livyason, preventing it from mating. One creature was separated from its partner, its mate, because that is what machlokas does. That is what separation does. And finally, on day six, Adam and Chava sinned against Hashem, which was the ultimate machlokas, the ultimate conflict, where they said, we have our own ideas about what we want to do in this world. And Hashem separated us, humanity, from him and threw us out of Gan Eden. From just the first 2 days of creation, we came away with two big ideas. Number one, Hashem created this world for a purpose, to give us light in Olam Haba. Everything in the world is moving us toward that. He created all the beings in the world. He brought about the Jewish people from being enslaved to being Hashem's nation. He gave us the ability to do tshuva. He gave us a Beis HaMikdash where we could serve him, and he gave us Torah and mitzvos. We can be part of Hashem's plan and achieve what he set out for this world to do. Lesson number two. We didn't need to have all these details in the creation of the world. It doesn't say ki tov, but then there are also all these small changes in text from on the second day, on the third day, on the fourth day, on the fifth day, and then on the sixth day, which are meant to let us know that conflict is a really big deal. It doesn't just end with a small argument over who's going to get the better end of the deal. It always escalates. It always spreads. It always impacts those around us, and the person who ends up suffering is ourselves. We say Hashem owes la'amo yitain. Hashem gave us power. Hashem yivrechas amo bashalom. Hashem blesses his nation with peace. If we don't have peace within ourselves, with our family and friends and with the world, then we can't have the power, we can't have Torah, we can't have anything. Conflict is easy. It is very natural to look out for our own best interests. I want a better job. I'll do what I think is right. But in the end, the winner is the one who can walk away from conflict and not look out for their own best interests, but what is in the best interest of Hashem and keeping shalom in this world. When we start fighting, it never ends well. It keeps growing and growing, involving new people, new issues. It doesn't slow down until we lose it all. So I hope that we can walk away and have these two ideas from the Tzen Arena to think about and to evaluate our lives and think about how can we bring these two ideas to fruition this week. Have a good Shabbos and a wonderful week.